Musings Podcast with Fairbairn and Russell. The Roge Twins are two evolutionary DeFi tokens that work symbiotically together to deliver strong and stable investor returns. What am I talking about? Well, hopefully we'll find out with our guest today, who is from the crypto world. We're very pleased to welcome another guest from the cryptocurrency world. And it's Dan, who is responsible for marketing for Proge and Roge coins. So Dan, you're welcome on the podcast. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to be talking to you. As I said, we don't get so many people from the crypto world on the podcast. We need to sort that out and get more on. So we're looking forward to discussing things crypto and, of course, what you're involved in. And, of course, we're joined by Kenny.
Yep. How are we doing, Dan? Yep. Myself and Dan, I've had the pleasure of speaking to each other before from an investor point of view. So it's quite a small world. We used to talk about stocks and shares, and now we're in the same space talking about tokens. So no, you're always welcome on the podcast, Dan. And as Mark says, we're looking to branch out, and hopefully you can tell us a lot about Proge and Roge, and we can try and expand our
horizons. Knowledge.
Yeah, expand the horizons. That's one of a better word. Yeah, I'm a bit tongue tied tonight. I need a beer. That's what's wrong. Dan's sitting drinking wine. I'm sure you've got something stronger than a beer, Mark.
I've got my water. Very.
You've got your water. Okay. The good stuff. But there we go, Dan. So how did we? Well, you can tell us a wee bit about yourself, and then you can tell us, how did you get into the crypto space? What attracted you to the crypto sector?
I think, quite honestly, as you said, we've spoken at length around AIM shares quite a bit, and for me, I just felt that AIM was starting to stagnate a bit. The liquidity in it seemed to be kind of drying up a little bit, and then a couple of friends mentioned crypto, and I've never really taken an interest in it, didn't understand it properly, and I'm sort of an all or nothing person. So as soon as I go into something, I have to research it to the nth degree, learn as much as possible about it as quickly as possible, so I can at least have a fighting chance of trying to make some money in it. And I think with crypto, my first investment, I only played with very small money, but I put, I think it was about £1,000 into a particular coin on Binance, which is sort of the kind of the baby steps into crypto world. And within, I think, 5 days, it had done something like 700%. And you're just sort of looking at it thinking, this doesn't happen on AIM. But when you looked at the top risers on Binance every day, all you could see were coins going up by 100, 150, 200, 500% in a day, in 24-hour period. And it's the second you've got that sort of rush from it, it's very hard to then look back at the AIM markets or the London markets and kind of get excited by a share going up 10% in a day.
The volume in AIM, not just the name, just obviously the main market as well, and even in Aquis, it goes in cycles, which we get, nobody knows, but it just seems, volumes just disappeared completely. And I know where most people are. Most people are in the crypto space at the moment because it trades 24/7. It trades 7 days a week. It's so all-consuming. I mean, I wish I could actually have, since I've got sort of more involved in some of these tokens, I wish I'd actually kept a note of the time that I've actually spent in this space, because it would probably horrify me. And I'm just talking about maybe waking up in the middle of the night and you're going to the toilet or something, and then you go back into bed and you say, oh, I'll just have a wee look. And before you know it, you've done 15 minutes just looking at stuff, because, I mean, most of it's done in Telegram. Most of the main tokens have, massive groups in Telegram. And even at this moment, I've got Telegram open here, and it's, the chats are just constantly moving. no one different. It's mad. It's unbelievable how vibrant it is, and ultimately how addictive it is, because it is. And I'm a bit like yourself, Dan. I'm all or nothing, and it is an addictive space to be in, and potentially very lucrative as well.
Yeah, it can be incredibly lucrative. In fact, yeah, one of the coins we'll sort of mention, you know, we're going to be talking about kind of community or meme coins or dog coins. But yeah, for an example of just how crazy it is. So I put, I think it was about £1,000 into Tkishu as well. This is going back a couple of months. It's called a dog coin or a meme coin. And generally within 2 weeks, that had gone probably 40 times its investment in 2 weeks. It went from a £40 million market cap to £1.8 billion, I think, within a 3 week period. And that is where the rush comes from crypto, because you can invest in 20 different things. You only need one of them to come off, and you're talking sort of life-changing gains within very short periods of time. So you can see why people have moved into crypto. It's the sort of modern day gold rush.
It's bizarre as well, just maybe sidestepping a bit. I don't know if you've ever seen that thing on YouTube where the guy goes and interviews all the people with Ferraris and Lamborghinis. He's a YouTuber. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He just walks up to them in parking lots. And there was one episode I watched, say it was about 12 people he spoke to, and 10 of them all named like dog tokens. And that's how he got their Lamborghinis and their Ferraris. No, it was just crazy. So yeah. It was absolutely crazy. But no, I mean, for my sins. I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about Progen and Roge in a bit more detail in a wee while. But I should probably just qualify that I do own Progen and Roge tokens. And Mark, what have you got? You've got. I sent you some. What did I send you? Did I send you some Roge tokens?
Yeah, you sent me some. I think it was it was Roge. I think, wasn't it? Yeah, that's what you sent me.
So we'll just get that out there first of all. That I do have tokens and these companies. But maybe when you talked about dog coins, meme coins, what are they, Dan? You know, what's your take on them? I mean, I've got a rough idea myself, but you've been in the space longer than me, so
it's a phenomenon, really. You have so I referred to Binance earlier, which is the largest exchange for you to trade crypto on globally. So, you know, Binance is the equivalent of a Hargreaves Lansdowne or an Interactive Investor, that you are able to buy and sell crypto globally. And as Kenny said, it's 24/7. It doesn't sleep. There's never any off switch to it. And you can look on Binance, and some of the projects in the blockchain world are genuinely mind-blowing in terms to what their use cases can be, what they can do for human beings. Some of these projects can literally change the world. And then you have coins, which are called dog coins or meme coins, the biggest one being Doge, which is backed by Elon Musk, which I think is currently sitting at, it's definitely a top 10 coin. Very recently, it was a top 3 coin. So, you know, it was top 3 with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Doge. This is a coin that has no use case. Yeah. It's a community coin or a meme coin. It's a coin that is based on it looking like a dog, and hence the term dog coin. And Elon Musk got behind it, and it just took off, and it created a whole new genre of crypto, which has led to coins like Shiba, Hawk, Kishu, and honestly, if you had a look at so there's Uniswap and PancakeSwap, which are decentralized exchanges where coins originally launch on these exchanges. If you have a look at most of the coins launched on these exchanges, and there are hundreds of them every single day, 95% of them or higher will be these kind of meme community coins. It's just a space that's blown up because of the kind of get rich quick side. Because you can, if you invest on day one under £1 million market cap, you can potentially invest in something. So for instance, Doge, I think, went up to something like a $70 billion market cap. Shiba went up to something like, I think it was $25, $30 billion. You think if you invest in that on day one under $1 million, then you're talking life-changing wealth. And so people kind of start to shun these incredible projects in this modern day gold rush, this going for new projects, that they want that get rich quick. The problem with the get rich quick is that what you now see is, of all those 95% coins per day, which are meme coins or dog coins coming onto the market, 99.9% of them are scams. Known as either rug pulls or soft rugs. And you know, so you've got to be willing to put your money into probably about 100 coins now for any one of them to be legit, unless you know the admin team or the developers behind it. So it is Wild West country.
I've been pretty fortunate so far that I've not had a rug pull. Not that I've been, you know, multiple coins or anything like that, but. No, I always, if I was going to invest in the token or the coin, I always get in the Telegram group and, you know, spend an hour looking through it. But to be honest, really, the only two I'm in at the moment are Proge and Roge. So maybe we should talk about them a wee bit, actually, because obviously you've talked about the space and, you know, what a meme coin is, etc. I mean, I know the backstory of Roge and Proge, but I'll let you explain it, Dan, for the benefit of our listeners, you know, how the two coins came about and what lessons have been learned.
So Roge is, I actually joined Roge or bought into Roge about probably the first day or two after it was launched. And it's called Roge because it's a rogue doge. So it's playing off the biggest meme coin out there of Doge. When I bought in, very quickly the developer had launched it, as is customary with a lot of these tokens, stepped away from the project entirely, so it was left sort of rudderless. And then what you saw was people within the community sort of organize themselves to pick the project up, start looking at how to market it properly. So one of the other things, as well as it being called a dog coin or a meme coin, is called a community coin. So community owned coin, because the community has to work as one to push the coin out there to essentially attract more investment and increase the price of the coin over long term. So the tokenomics with Roge are very simple. On every transaction, a buy and sell, 1% of that gets redistributed amongst all holders. And so that launched at a time when these coins were very, very hot. But unfortunately, so the dev or the developer abandoned the project and the community picked it up. And then that sort of went on for a number of weeks, maybe a month or two, before someone, one of the kind of new developers within our team, one of the guys that's leading it, reached out to another developer to create a very, very interesting concept in this space of something called a protector token. So if you think of all those hundreds, thousands of coins that have been developed, deployed, and then people have ended up scammed because, you know, the developers have pulled the liquidity out or they've sold into the rise their team tokens. There are just a graveyard of thousands of these types of coins where people have pretty much zero chance to make their money back. And then this protector token concept sort of came up because once a with a smart contract, once a token is deployed, it's immutable. So and generally the ownership of those contracts are also renounced, which means you can't get into that contract and change how it works. You can't do anything to it. It's there and it will work like that forever. Whereas what you can do is create a new token, as we have done here with Protector Proge. And what Proge does is have tokenomics that are really interesting to herself as a standalone token. So there is there's a 2% redistribution on every transaction. There's 2% to a marketing wallet, or also 3% to a marketing wallet on every transaction. And the reason for that is part of the use case that this has further down the line, which we'll get into. It has a burn, so it makes the token deflationary. So every transaction, the token should actually increase in value a little bit because you're burning 1% of the coins you've just bought from the, or sold from those transactions, adding to the liquidity pool, which ends up increasing the value of the token, the bottom value of the token as well. And then the interesting thing here was we added a 5%, what we called a guardianship transaction, tax transaction onto this. So for every buy and sell, 5% of that buy and sell would then go back to Proge and would buy Proge and burn it. So Proge actually made Proge deflationary by 5% on every transaction, which was, you know, something quite new and innovative in this space. So it's and something that can be rolled out across all of these tokens that, you know, people have been scammed or left sitting on nearly 100% losses on, and gives them the potential to actually make something of their project.
I wonder if you can just go elaborate on that a little bit. This deflationary burn idea. Obviously, tokens or coins that they're minted, aren't they? Yes. Some are minted constantly, mined constantly, like Bitcoin, for example. Some are minted from day one. Effectively, they're all already in circulation. Can you maybe just say a little bit more about how the coins are sort of minted, or how many are in circulation, and then the benefit of this deflationary burn, but also what actually happens? How do you actually burn them?
Yeah, of course. So with coins and how they're minted, so that will be built into the contract. And most contracts you'll see, they won't have the ability to create more tokens. What they'll do is start with, for instance, on Proge, we have, I think it's 99.9 quadrillion tokens in issue. And it's a lot of zeros. It takes a bit of time to get your head around it in terms of what you actually own. But what it does by having that burn piece on it, whether it's the 5% buy back and burn of Proge, or whether it's the 1% burn directly on Proge, what it does is it removes those tokens. So it will take 1% of every transaction. So for instance, let's say someone's bought $100 worth of Proge. It will take $1 worth of Proge tokens, and it will send them to something called a burn address, which is a 0x00 address. Basically, it's an address that no one has access to, and it's used as a burn address. So it takes those tokens out of circulation forever. They can never come back. They're gone. And so on that $100, you'd have $1 of Proge go to a burn address. You would then have $5 of Proge get bought. So you get the benefit of a buy on Proge, which pushes the price up. And then you also get the benefit of those $5 worth of tokens also being sent to a burn address where they can't be accessed. So there's an immediate uplift because of the buy, and then there's a longer term uplift because there's less coins in circulation.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So whereas the Royal Mint can print money physically and keep inflating, is that right? Inflating. Yeah. The currency. This is the other way around. Effectively, it's taking them out completely. But that doesn't mean there'll be none left eventually, does it?
No, it just means if say you are super successful and doing billions of dollars of sales every single day, it would just mean that it would get down to probably 0.00 of a coin at some point.
Yeah.
But it does mean those that have held since the beginning, if you say you're able to inflate the coins in issue by 50%, then those that bought right at the beginning, then their tokens would be worth 100% more than had that burn not been in place.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Okay, well, you mentioned about talking about use cases. That's something I wanted to move on to. Because I'm not a skeptic. I certainly I invest in cryptocurrencies, but there are a heck of a lot of thousands of coins, of these altcoins and then these meme coins, which effectively are memes. But you have mentioned real use cases, so I wonder if you can maybe give us an idea of what the real use cases then behind both coins.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was something we were quite keen to make sure we did. What we wanted is to have the backing of a community coin, a meme coin, and have the community behind the coin, but then to bring in real life use cases which actually add value, which make the token legitimate. And that was important because, like you said, it's a world full of the same coins badged up differently, doing different things. And ultimately, you're banking on buying the right one that for some reason decides to take off when 900 other ones don't. So what we said is, and what we set out, we've actually got white papers drawn up for both of them. We've got something called a rogue bazaar, which we're looking at developing an online marketplace where the rogue community can trade real life goods as well as sort of digital services as well, for either proge or roge coins. So it can be a digital currency to buy real life products and services, so that there's an actual utility to it. So that was one of the areas. We wanted to create something called the Rogue Exchange as well, which is an exchange. If you've used Uniswap or PancakeSwap, you'll probably be familiar with it, but it's an exchange that we would look to add unique features on, which would either offer free or as close to free as possible fees on trades, getting the continued security that you'd want from an exchange like that. So it would be, in effect, a decentralized exchange. And then the last one is what we termed Project X. This was the use case we were most excited about, and again it's something that's got different avenues to it, but the essential premise of this is we would use the marketing treasury wallet that we were building through the launch Proge to identify opportunities in the crypto space to invest. So whether that's Bitcoin and Ethereum have been had a bit of a pace in the last few weeks, six to eight weeks probably. So now's probably would have been a good time to kind of accumulate some of those stable coins. And then because of that, there's also a huge a bargain basement territory in terms of some of these incredible projects that I mentioned earlier on that have seen their values halved or even 70% off because of this being tied to Bitcoin and the Bitcoin drop. So the idea was we'd almost act like a hedge fund, like a venture capital firm to invest in crypto projects across multiple avenues, whether that's new and exciting projects at seed round or ICO stage, or whether we could invest in stable coins, whether we can invest in sort of some of these projects that are very undervalued, with a view to having quite a good stake in these projects, making money, which we then either use that money to again buy and burn Proj and Roj, so it adds double value to the community, or looking at something like a dividend airdrop to our holders so that they benefit from the work that the token is doing on their behalf.
Yep. And I also believe, Dan, and obviously I'm in the Telegram group, so, you know, the community and the admins especially are very, very vocal in letting holders know what's going on. Yous are also looking at sort of staking, sort of farming projects as well, where people can stake their Proj and Roj tokens and get rewards, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, that's one that the cases possibly have missed off, and we need to update the white paper on that as well. But yeah, one of the things you'll see across crypto to encourage holding and to incentivize people to create more liquidity is staking programs or farming programs, where they will put their portion of coins, whether that's Proj or Roj, and then because we're an ERC20 token, that will use Ethereum as the liquidity portion of that staking and farming piece, and they will put their coins into that, and then there'll be something called APY, which provides them with a percentage increase on staking those tokens, so they will get the benefit of increased tokens and passive income by not doing anything, and they'll get passive income from the redistribution element as well as the fact that they've staked their tokens and earn more by just doing nothing. So that's that is something in the pipeline, something we're looking at as well.
Yeah, I mean I've done a few sort of staking farming programs, and they're pretty lucrative. I mean, some of them are running about 100% APY. Obviously, they don't run over the full year. They may only run for 3 months, but you're still picking up, maybe 20% in extra tokens. You know, so as it's, you can see how company. I mean, obviously, you talked about looking as almost like a venture capital firm, and obviously, we've got, I think it's Pluto, who are due to list on the Aquis Exchange.
Yeah,
that's kind of what they're doing, and there's huge interest in that company, and I took part in the placing, so I'm pretty excited to see what these guys have done with the money in the last 5 or 6 months. So no, there's huge opportunities in the space, but I guess it's all down to getting, you know, a good community, a reliable, honest admin team, and that's the building blocks. And once you've got them in place, then it's just it's a case of adding layers to it, and that's when the real value comes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these projects, if you're in them for the long term, there's a lot of work that needs to happen. There'll be some days which are better than others. There's a very, very weird herd mentality in crypto. And if you watch, if you just watch when Bitcoin is going up or when Bitcoin is going down, you can watch the order books and you just see people just either completely offloading or, you know, completely just loading into it. Crypto has one of the weirdest herd mentalities I've ever seen of anything. People don't kind of make informed decisions based on what they're investing in. They make it on what other people in the market are doing. So there's kind of no rhyme or reason to it. You can be doing better than you were yesterday, and because someone sells, everyone sells. Or you might do absolutely nothing on one day, and because a couple of people buy, you suddenly have a flood of buys. And it's a very, very odd space. But it certainly keeps it interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit like a football match when there's that one person that starts the song, and before you know it, there's 20,000 people singing it within 10 seconds. You know, that's it's tribal. It's a tribal thing.
It is.
And it's, You want to catch that wave, but you also want, you know, a strong community, strong admin team, dev team, and then the roadmap, you know, to make it all happen. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited what the future holds for the two coins. And what I find even more astonishing was that they had their first lottery last week as well.
Yeah.
So that was 20 addresses picked at random, and you had 48 hours to claim your prize, and the top prize wasn't claimed. And I think from memory, it was 500 trillion?
500 trillion.
500, yeah. It was
3.5% of the whole token, and somebody didn't claim it.
So it gets put back into the pot for the next time. So somebody missed out on, I don't know, I think it was like $3,500.
Yeah, it might have even been more, actually. I think it might have been closer to maybe $5,000 at the time.
So if you're in, if you're listening, you're in Proge and Roge, join the Telegram group, because there will be a regular lottery. You don't want that prize to be going unclaimed, because it's a nice lift. You know, it's like walking down the street and finding $2,000 or $3,000, and it doesn't happen very often. But in fact, there was quite a few. I think there was only maybe 8 out of the 20, because there was 20 prizes, and I think only 8 out of the 20 get claimed. So
yeah, it's things you kind of have to make it fair for the community, and you want the community to be active, especially at the early stages of a token. And so we made the decision that we will put the lottery winners into the chat, all picked at random, and then it needed to be someone that was in the Telegram group to see it, because we want people in there, we want people being active. That's the biggest draw of people in the beginning stages of a token is through Telegram. As you get bigger and more established, then you start to pick up people from different avenues. But certainly the beginning life point of it is all kind of Telegram focused.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And did you check your address, Mark?
No.
No, that's all. I checked it for you.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Kenny.
Yeah. Actually, you had to hold both Proge and Roge, so you wouldn't have qualified. I might send you some Proge.
Maybe you can send me some Proge then as well. Yeah, maybe you can do that. Yeah, it was very kind of you to send me some of your Roge. I don't know how much it is. I've no idea how much it actually is. But
I think it was like $100 or something. I sent you.
About 160 quid or something? Yeah, I think it was around there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've gave away quite a lot. I was kind of fortunate to buy one of the kind of, it was a major dip, and I just decided to grab a load. So I have gave some away in various competitions that I ran for the Scotland-England game, which ended up costing me, I think, 55 trillion tokens I gave away, but I didn't mind. You know, that's part of the community.
It's part of the community.
You know? Because you got the draw.
Yeah. Listen, I would have probably gave away more if we got the win. But yeah, I think a good point in our community as well, and this is something that really kind of hit home, was obviously talked about scams and stuff earlier on, and there was one member of the Roge community that was scammed and lost, amongst other tokens, she'll remain nameless, obviously, she lost all her Roge tokens to the scammer. So within about, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, everybody kind of rallied around in the community, and you know, 5 or 6 of us sent her tokens, and she, at least for the Roge holding, she got back to where she was with that holding. So yeah, that's a good thing about the community. You know, if there's, I'm not saying if somebody's been scammed, but if there's, you know, if there's, everybody just rallies together, that's the way it should be. And and we looked after that person who was, and don't get me wrong, I mean, we've seen some of the screenshots of how they get scammed, and it looks pretty genuine. I think it's probably a good point to make as well, Dan, that you never if somebody DMs you claiming to be an admin for a token, you never respond to it. You always contact admin. You never let admin contact you, because that's just opening the door to people, trying to get a hold of your seed phrase for your wallet. And once you give away your seed phrase, then you're in trouble.
Oh yeah, you must keep your seed phrase safe. Yeah.
But there's so many clever ways, Mark. I mean,
really?
This particular scammer had set himself up. I think it was to be a Uniswap admin. Dan, from memory, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had the pattern, they had the terminology, and like I say, there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who's probably getting scammed.
What, so they pretended to be someone from Uniswap, and then this lady needed help or something with technical support? Yeah, right, okay.
They sort of trawl through all the Telegram groups, and they look for people that are maybe having issues with something, Uniswap or another exchange. I'm just saying Uniswap, because it could be any exchange. It could be, one inch exchange, or whatever you call it. It's a 1-inch, 6-inch. I'll watch what I'm saying here. I'm boasting. So it could be any exchange. I think these people, I'll not swear, they're certainly not people, they're not even human beings. They just look for anyone that's asking questions, and then you can quickly change your Telegram profile picture, and before you know it, you just need that first bite, and then away you go. So if somebody DMs you, Mark, I just block them.
I know, Kenny, that you both are doing more and venturing more into the world of crypto. I think for your listeners, particularly if some of them are new to crypto and want to get into it, I mean, some of the scams, like you said, never, ever, ever give your MetaMask seed phrase to anyone. It doesn't matter who they are or how good they are at creating a story that you feel you should give it to them. Never do it. As soon as someone has that seed phrase, they can take your account, take over it completely, and empty your wallet of everything. And the problem with, one of the problems with crypto is once that money is gone, it is untraceable. You will not get that back. Some of the scams are really, really clever. So, for instance, Kishu, one of the big coins out there, and when it was flying, it had 55,000 members in its Telegram group. This is how clever scammers are. They created another group that looked exactly like the Kishu group, and they used a bot to add anyone whose privacy settings on Telegram didn't allow them to be added to group. So if your privacy settings allowed you to be added to a group, they added what looked like 55,000 people into another Kishu group, and then said they were doing an airdrop giveaway, and you needed to sign up and follow the process, and you'd get free Kishu. I can't even tell you how many people got scammed from that. And this happens all the time. They're so clever. They'll set up a new Telegram group that looks exactly like it. They'll use bots to add people into it. And you'll think you're in your legit Telegram group. And then all of a sudden, they're doing promotions, free coins, something along those lines. And ask for certain details. And then you'll lose either those coins that you send them, because that would be one way they do it, is where they say, okay, you've got to send us X amount of these coins, and we're going to send you five times that back as part of this airdrop. If it sounds too good to be true in crypto, it probably is. I think it's, for any of your listeners that are thinking of getting into crypto, I'd say it's a great place to be in and to learn, but have your wits about you. If anything sounds too good to be true, then speak directly to the person that owns the group that you think it should be. Find an admin, find someone like that. If they're not pushy, if they don't ask for seed phrases or you to send them something, that they're probably legit. If they're asking for anything, it's big red flags.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a heck of a lot of scams going on today. And hopefully it'll get better, though, as perhaps maybe some regulation's good and bad, I think. But I think with the seed phrase yeah, don't share it with anyone. There's no need to. Exactly. And but equally don't lose it, because then in the same situation, probably more annoying actually.
I think there's some people, early adopters of Bitcoin out there, that have rued the day they misplaced their seed phrase on certain wallets.
Yeah, or that poor chap in the UK who's trying to get permission to search a landfill because he's thrown a hard drive with 250 million worth of Bitcoin on. I mean. Yeah, that's not not very good to be in that position. I wonder. I know we're up on the time here a little bit, but I just wanted to talk a little bit. I don't know if you're sort of comfortable talking about the sort of wider crypto market, Dan. But just looking at the sort of cycles and how things move, and of course we have pulled back a fair bit on the main ones, which, and I think probably most of the market has done the same. Do you think that they all kind of will move together in cycles? And I agree what you're saying about it. It's far more exciting than like the AIM market, for example. And there's lots of my friends who never been interested in stock trading who are suddenly interested in crypto. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's exciting because of the returns, or just because it's cool or something. But you do have to be careful, and you know, you have to make sure when you've got good gains, just like in the stock market, you take them when they're there, because there's always someone going to be left to move on to the next stage. And I think we're at a very exciting stage in this whole revolution, really. You know, it's like .com, again, but you're on the right side of it. You're going to have, I think, a lot of craziness, but the technology behind some of these tokens is what's really exciting and the long-lasting factor. And at the minute, it's finding its footing in its place. And I think a lot of the coins will end up sort of fading away, you know. And there'll be a lot of jumping on the bandwagon, you know, and that kind of thing. And just jumping on the whole kind of movement. But where do you think we are kind of in the... Did you think they are all kind of tied to the wider crypto market? And when I say wider crypto market, really I'm talking about how Bitcoin and Ethereum really are performing.
Well, I think everything is tied to Bitcoin. Me personally, I think Bitcoin's an archaic dinosaur in the crypto world. I think it's, we love Bitcoin when it's going up because everything else is going to fly. But at some point, the dominance of Bitcoin in reflecting the wider crypto market has to change, because so you've got projects that are just entirely unrelated to Bitcoin that are unbelievable projects that can drop in value 50-60% because Bitcoin's gone down, which is just crazy. That should not happen. It's a difficult one. I mean, it depends what you read. Most of the kind of chartists out there, what you'll probably see with most of them is you'll say one of them will predict this, and then the very next sentence they'll say, but if it doesn't do that, it will do this. And they kind of cover their bases for basically saying, I think it's going to go up or down. I think most people don't know. I've seen something called a Wyckoff chart lately that Bitcoin appears to be following very, very closely. And if it does, it looks like we're very close to Bitcoin breaking 40K, 45K and above market. I was reading something on it the other day which said that there is the people that have been accumulating Bitcoin at the 30K range were institutions and the whales who already held Bitcoin in large amounts anyway. So what you've seen is an attack to drive the price of Bitcoin down. You then seen retail sell to the people that already own vast amounts of it, so that they can load up at a certain price point before it gets allowed to move again. From what I read, there's something like 80% plus of Bitcoin is currently off of exchanges in wallets, which means there's very limited amount left to actually buy. So as soon as there's any buying pressure, you're obviously removing more Bitcoin from that exchange. And then people start to think, okay, this is it, and start to FOMO into it. I think we'll still see 100K plus Bitcoin by the end of this year. is my thoughts. But there's a lot of other people who think very differently. So
yeah, well, I get the feeling that we are going to have another push at least this year, and I get the feeling it might be soon, towards the end of July. That's just, you know, what I follow and the people that I listen to. But I do get the, I think it's very narrative driven as well. It's also very emotionally driven. Yes. And like the stock market, it's crypto, you can say the same. It's probably the only place that people don't go nuts and splash out when the sale, you know, when the sales are on. They do the opposite. And yeah, it's emotion. It's just simply emotion. And yeah, you have FOMO at the top and then you have despair.
Yeah. Let's hope we've done the despair bit now and we can look forward
to it. I hope so. Yeah. And I guess then it's an obvious question, but I guess you feel that Proge Doge will be around for longer than perhaps, you know, when the craziness goes away, when things find their foot, I guess you feel that Proge and Doge will, no, sorry, Proge and Roge, I should say, will be around for the longer term.
Yeah. I think the very interesting thing with Proge and Roge is it's positioned so well to take advantage of so many bargains right now with the Project X use case of what we want us to be. That if we can get it right, we could time it absolutely perfectly for, you know, maybe a short, sharp bull run that sees things move up exponentially, which, you know, if we've invested in the right things at the right time, and, you know, we're looking at kind of utilizing algorithms to trade as well, then it's we could really take advantage of that. And then you try and guess when that bull run comes to an end, stack up on stable coins and get ready to move once those bargains come back in after. Yeah,
so rinse, repeat. That's really what it is. Rinse and repeat. Eat, sleep, crypto, isn't it?
It is. Sometimes I wish I
miss out the sleep bit.
Yeah. When do you sleep?
Yeah, you could just replace eat, drink, crypto, repeat. Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. But I wonder if we could just finish off, and we sometimes do this with guests, and we can almost put you in the spot maybe for 60 seconds.
Yep.
Give us like a, you know, why maybe a first-time investor in the crypto space should buy Proge or Roge, or a seasoned investor in the space should maybe, you know, buy some Proge or Roge. You know, just a 60-second pitch, an elevator pitch, whatever you want to call it. You know,
why? So, yep, I'll, okay, here we go. So if I was to advise someone to buy Proge or Roge, and I have to my friends, I would say the reason why is because, first of all, I know the team that are behind it. I know the integrity and ethics of them in this space, which is rare in this space because of all the scams. So you have a meme coin or a community coin with a legitimate use case that can increase exponentially in value. And it's at such a low market cap, such a low entry point at this stage right now. You're talking about, you know, even if it's 10 bags, it's only a £5 million market cap. So if you want to get into something where you know the team and the admins are working all towards the same goal, which is to increase coin holders' value, you've got a ready-made project with a ready-made legitimate use case ready to go and take advantage of a market that looks like it's on the precipice of going into another bull run.
Brilliant. Yep, that was good. That was probably under a minute. I think our record's been about 3 minutes for one of these 60-second pitches. So you captured all the points that float my boat. Anyway, Mark, your first job tomorrow is to actually go and buy some of these tokens instead of scadging them off of me.
Well, I like to scadge, Kenny.
I think that's a Scottish word, isn't it? Scadge. I don't think it's an English word. I think
no,
it's
but Scottish. I have
it
heard
doesn't
it.
Make any sense.
Yeah, scrounge. Would be
scrounge. That's it. Yeah, scrounge. Yeah.
So you're getting bugger all tokens from me. You've got. What's the one you've got? You've got Cum Rocket, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah, I got that one. Yeah, it's a play on the porn industry. I mean, all these ones for me, they're kind of fun money. I have my more serious crypto, which I sort of dollar cost average, and you know, I sort of take that for a longer term view. But I have my kind of fun pot as well, and part of that is Cum Rocket. And unbelievably, Elon Musk tweeted about it. He did it in a very crypto way, and I looked at the tweet and I thought it was like he used like emojis. And it was like the little three water splashes things, and then it was like a rocket, and then it was moon. So I was like, oh, you're saying Cum Rocket's going to moon? And I looked at my phone, and it was about 400%. It didn't stay up there for very long, but I was quite pleased that one of the coins that I was in, Elon Musk had tweeted about, because that must be claim to fame a little bit there, I think.
What I'd give for, you know, he's a bit rogue himself. So what I'd love is for Elon to look at Rogue Doge and think that's his next project. That would be of interest.
Yeah.
Right, Mark, I'll be on your case first thing tomorrow. And if you don't know how to buy, I'll show you.
I know how to buy. It's probably a very similar method of the other ones. But thank you very much, Dan, for coming on. We've got a lot more, probably thousands of other people to talk to if we want to cover the whole crypto space. But but thank you very much for coming on and telling us about the project that you're involved in. And yeah, just getting your opinion on the whole space as well. It's nice to be talking to people in this space.
No, absolutely. Thank you for having me. We're full of ideas. So, you know, hopefully a couple more projects in the future, as long as we get Proge and Roge going fine, then it'd be great to come and talk to you about those as well.
Yeah.
Yep. And what we'll do when we put the podcast out, Dan, we'll put up obviously the Telegram group and the Twitter page and, you know, all the good stuff so people can actually find you. And and we'll take it for there. And as Mark says, it's great having you on, and we might get you back on again as things progress throughout the year, and you can maybe update us on the road and, you know, what developments have been happening, etc.
Absolutely, it'd be great to do that. I've enjoyed it, so thanks for having me on.
No problem. Great.
Thank you, Dan.
Cheers. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Ben and Russell. Tune in next time.